Welcome to the River Talk podcast. This is a podcast by Priscilla Macy, me, Zach Collier, and Eric Weiseth. Priscilla and Eric are out like wandering through the woods today. They couldn't make it. But on the episode, I have two of my friends, Aaron Cavignolo and Aaron Babcock. And our topic today is going to be, do creature crafts require skill? And just to give some background, Aaron Babcock is a longtime creature crafter. He's also a rafter, has traveled around all over, like, I think, parts of the world and all over, definitely Southern Oregon with his creature craft, and has also rafted hard rivers throughout California and Oregon. My friend Aaron Cavignolo is an old college buddy. We've done a lot of boating together, and he's also guided around the world on Class 5 rivers, the Food LeFou, Cherry Creek, all that kind of stuff. And so they're two definitely, like, very good boaters who are very articulate and like to talk about stuff. And so, welcome, guys. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Zach.
So, basically, I just want to, like, the question is, do creature crafts require skill? Any thoughts? Who wants to start?
well, obviously, they require some skill depending on how you want to run them. But that's like any boat, you know? I mean, you can take, compare, like, canoes and kayaks and say, well, a canoer is definitely going to require more skill to go down a class 5 run than a kayaker. But then again, you know, a kayaker still requires a lot of skill to do that kind of run. And same with rafts. I mean, kayaker and rafting debates have been going on forever. Like, people think, you know, oh, you just jump in a raft and just mob over the holes. Obviously, there's more to it than that. But with a perspective of somebody that's never been in a raft, I could see how a kayaker would be like, oh yeah, the rafters just like jump in and drink beer and go down. But, in some places, you know, it requires more skill to take a raft down, I think, than a kayak. And so creature crafts definitely are a different type of boat. And I would say that it requires less skill to do some runs for sure. Whether you count doing a run on your side as like actually maneuvering the boat as like you ran it, that's debatable. But if you like, I mean, for me, it has allowed me to like see some rivers that I don't think very many people have been able to see. And I'm not like a class 5 plus kayaker. And some of the rivers that I've been able to see with a creature craft, like there's no way I would take a raft down. Like I don't know anybody else that has, successfully. But with that being said, if I'm running it on my side the whole time, I don't really feel like I ran it. You know, that's like, I don't really count that as like a successful run, but I'm also alive and I can, you know, try to do it again. And so running like the Illinois at 20 grand or 25 grand, I would never take a raft down that. And I think if anybody does want to do it, I would question their sanity a little bit and make sure that they're, you know, if they were asking for advice, I'd be like, are you sure you know what you're getting into? Because if you fall out, you're probably going to die. Same with a kayak, you know, like a kayaker, you know, even then I'd be like, okay, like, do you know what you're getting into? Because if you swim, like, rescue is hard unless you have a really good team. So does it require skill? I mean, of course everything requires skill and it just depends on where you're going to take that. I mean, where are you going to put your limits at and stuff? You definitely can't just strap yourself into the boat and float down and consider that like running the river.
Well, I kind of agree with Aaron on one point. Like, I think there are some skills required to run a creature craft. You have to be able to pump the boat up. You know, you have to know how to unroll it, pump it up, and how to put on your life jacket. But after that, I mean, there's really no skill involved. I mean, like, yeah, you can be skilled and do it, but you don't need to be skilled to do it. You know, well, it's kind of silly. I mean,
I guess that depends on what you consider running. Because, I mean, if you get in a raft, you can take the raft will make it down to the end of the river, right? You just might not be in it anymore if you had no skills, because you'd be upside down and you'd swim. and the creature craft allows you to stay in. So granted, if somebody is unskilled and they just strap themselves in a creature craft and there's no wood and there's no sieves and there's no like rap rocks or anything, and they make it down the river, like sure they made it down and they survived, but they I wouldn't consider that really running the river. And the advantage to that is like, if you actually are trying to learn how to run the river, but you don't want to die, you have a chance to like see it and experiment with the boat and see how to run the river correctly. And if you stay upright, or even if you don't, like say there's like there's definitely some moves to be made if you know, like in a big hole or something that you're like, oh, I'd rather hit that hole than the other hole. I mean, you can use those to maneuver your boat around, whereas a raft, like you're not gonna be able to do that. And so there's like some different things going on.
I feel like you could just take somebody off the street, as long as they don't like have some sort of heart problem or something, and you could just like put a life jacket on them. So this is how you pop up the boat. You could just like give them a little how-to video, and then you could push them off the Illinois $20,000, and they'd make it. And then you could pick them up at the other end. You could be like, "Great, yeah, nice job." You know,
They probably wouldn't have a very good time. They might be alive, or maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. It depends on what kind of hole you get stuck in. Definitely there's some holes out there that you need to be able to move around that are like the size of houses, that even a creature craft would, you're not going to have a good time there. I would definitely not recommend that, option. But I mean, if you want to, I don't know, I mean, we can always get you set up in one and you can just strap yourself in and go down, but I bet you probably will regret that pretty quickly without
even me.
Well, yeah, we won't give you oars because we just strap you in, right?
Skill. No, right. I mean oars. Yeah, I assume you give oars to them too, just because like you'll get stuck in an eddy and you'll be like,
but the oars are more dangerous.
To get out of the eddy.
Hazards. Those are just hazards that are gonna hit you.
A paddle.
You'd rather R2.
I know nothing about them. I just like watch the videos of them and people hitting waves sideways and falling over. And then pretty much I feel like the classic YouTube video of a creature craft is them like not teeing up to a wave, it hitting them, then knocked over sideways, and they spend like the next couple minutes trying to get righted as they hit all this stuff. They get righted and then they grab their oars back and then they hit another wave sideways, get flipped over the other way, and then they're stuck trying to breathe for a while, get it upright. And I feel like that's like most of the videos I've seen of creature crafts, is that's what they're doing. It's just like out of control, not really much skill. It's not really that impressive to watch. And it's like, I mean, I will agree with you, like the creature craft has its place in terms of like, there's certain places the creature craft can go that nowhere else can go. But I just don't think they're really worth the cost either. Like, I mean, how much do they cost? Like $17,000 or something like that. No. And then and you can only use,
it'd be like buying a raft. It'd be like going to Air and being like, oh, I want a 14-foot raft and a frame and oars, or I want a 16-foot raft and frame and oars, or Sotar or something. Like you buy a brand new boat. They're pretty similar costs. I mean, unless you start to go super huge, but I would assume with rafts and frames and oars.
Here we go. Creature craft, rescue boat, $17,000. Creature craft, water.
Well, a rescue boat is different. That's a totally different type of boat. I mean, are you wanting to get a motor with it?
It doesn't have a motor. It has oars on it. Google creature crafts rafts, and that's what comes up. It's like $17,000, $13,000. Well, I mean, how much do they really cost?
You can get one that would probably, you can R2, or you could single frame, like the same one that Zach got. You could pick that up for around $5,000 and then add a frame for about $1,000 to $1,200, and then your oars and blades. Or you could go like the Aguamala, which is like the medium size, which is the one I can carry like a passenger. It's a little tight, but you can definitely do a passenger. You can do an R3 setup. And I think that one would probably be, I mean, without the frame. And granted, I'm not the owner, but I'm pretty sure you can pick one up for eight, maybe nine grand new. So 17 is, rescue boat is a totally different, that's like for firefighting
here we go.
Type stuff.
The G4 Charybdis non-motorized, 9,000. The G4
that's
Bakun
non-motorized,
8,000.
Bakun is bigger than the Aguamala.
The creature, that doesn't have a reason. The G4 Bakun motorized outboard, 14.6. This is like, I just looked at whitewater
the motorized outboard, so you're actually buying a motor with that, too. You know that.
I know, right? I just clicked on whitewater carafes. The ultimate inflatable self-riding whitewater raft. And then we've got they're all like the cheapest one I see here is the G2 Makara non-motorized 5,500.
Okay. So if you wanted an R2, which it sounded like you did, cause you didn't want to have the oars being
I'll do anything. $5,500
I mean, for a boat to R2 granted. I mean, yeah, you can only take two people or one person. But that'd be similar, buying like a 10 or 12 foot boat. I mean, it's going to be more expensive, but it's not $17,000 to buy a boat. And I'm not the owner. I'm not going to debate what the prices are because I can't say for sure. But I know that people pick them up for a lot less than 17 grand.
No. I went on the sign and it's around 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, that's just for the boat. But my point is, it's a lot of money for a boat, and the boat is like a one-trick pony. I mean, basically, it's good for high volume. And so, I just made a list of the rivers I ran last year for fun. Like, I did, a four-day trip on the Illinois, and did a four-day trip on the Rogue, did some Tuolumne trips high water, did the Selway, the Grand Canyon, went up on the White Salmon. And pretty much, it would suck for all those runs. Like it would be you'd be miserable. It would be fun.
You would. I don't know.
I mean, Aaron, I'm going to butt in here. For you, for the rivers you did last year, that makes some sense. But the debate is really, I think, do these things require skill? I think that's what I kind of want to get at. Let me change the subject a little bit. The North Fork of the Payette. People do it with almost no experience. North Fork of the Payette is hard. Could you just strap yourself in this boat with no experience and make your way down the North Fork of the Payette?
Are you talking to which Aaron? Are you talking to?
Either one of you.
I mean, obviously there's depends on the level, but there's definitely some dangers on the North Fork Payette. I think everybody knows that. Not only from just the actual water itself and swimming, which obviously a creature craft is going to help you with, but there's logs and there's pin hazards and sieves to a certain extent, depending on what, you're looking at as far as levels go. And then of course the shore it's sharp rock. It's not like you can just bounce around down the banks and expect that the inflatable boat is going to survive. And so I think that when I still have yet to be to one of those, the guide schools where they kind of open up the boats to people. So I don't know exactly what goes on there, except that they do vet people to a certain extent where it's like they're not just, taking people randomly and being like, hey, here you go. Like, we'll do top to bottom, because, I mean, nobody wants anybody to get hurt and nobody wants anybody to die. And there's definitely places where even in a creature craft, if you go in the wrong spot, it could be bad news.
I feel like the creature craft is kind of like, what do they call the kickboards that they take on the river? The boogie boards you take on the river. What do you call those? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Riverboards?
Riverboards. I feel like it's the equivalent of a riverboard. Riverboard doesn't require any skill either. They're pretty much comparable. I mean, you just hold on and you do a little bit of movement. You just have to know how to move the boat a little bit. Okay, this is how you move the boat. This is how you kick on the kickboard on the riverboard. This is how you roll forward and backward. okay, now follow me, let's go. Like, I mean...
So, Aaron, are you saying that people that run creature crafts inherit... Like, what if you ran a creature craft and you had skill? Do you think, like, that would open up new possibilities? Or do you think that you just... Everybody that runs creature crafts has no skill?
Normally. No, I didn't say that. I don't think that precludes you from having skills. You know, like just because you run a creature craft doesn't mean you don't have skills. But... I mean, it doesn't require skills to run a creature craft. It's like, I think we talked about that video game analogy a while back. Like, you know, you don't have to be really good shape to play video games, but just because you play video games doesn't mean you're really out of shape. And I think like running a creature craft, like Aaron sounds like he's a good boater and he can paddle a lot of stuff. He can probably drive a raft real well and he's probably really good at driving boats. So it doesn't mean like, oh, Aaron starts running a creature craft and now he sucks at boating. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that you could pull a lot of people off the street and just be like, hey, man, here, take this. Let's go. And they'd be fine. You know, you can take a class 1+ boater and turn them into a class 5 boater with no real skills or experience.
To a certain extent, you're correct in that, like, on some rivers, like, you could run Rainy Falls in a creature craft all day long on the Rogue. And you could put somebody in with no skills and – as long as they do some ore management, they're not going to hurt themselves probably, and they're definitely not going to die. But if you want to start pushing the limits and start using the boat for what it is, you know, you can take that boat to a different level and run some stuff that's pretty awesome and definitely requires you to be able to maneuver the boat into certain spots to get to where you want to be. I mean, I know there's lots of videos out there that show boats just like tumbling and stuff because that's like what people like to watch, you know,
yeah.
And it definitely, I mean, I feel like it's kind of like this, at least for me, it's like this experimental boat where it's like, okay, I'm like safe, but I can like try to like do this run, but I've definitely gotten myself and others too in positions where it's like, oh shit, like that was not a good spot to be, and learning how to maneuver the boat, being that it's a different type of boat than a raft, and like figuring out how to use the features, because you can't overpower a river that's super huge by just rowing. Like, you have to use the features to move your boat, and you're like, okay, I want to get over here, then I want to get over there, then I want to like kind of hang out for a little bit and like wait and see what's going on, and then maybe move down a little bit further. So I think that, I mean, in that, I mean, to me, like if it was somebody else explaining that to me, I'd be like, oh yeah, that sounds like you're like gaining some skills on the river. Maybe not for a raft, but you're not going to be taking a raft down there anyway. So yeah,
I don't know. Aaron Caviola, if class 1 boaters are running class 5 and they're doing it safely, is there a problem with that?
I think there are lots of problems with that. Yeah. I mean, I think the list just begins with the lack of experience when something does go wrong. Oh no, you put a hole in your boat and you're swimming. What do? Can your buddies rescue you? I mean, there's like, I imagine there's all sorts of problems that you can put yourself into with the creature craft, and you haven't like over time gained that experience through time with easier rescues, and like, unless, you know, I feel like the places where they take creature crafts, if you find yourself out of the confines of the creature craft, you're doomed, you know? And so you, like you said, you know, so I think it allows you to go places you really shouldn't be able to go with the skills that you have, if that makes sense.
I totally agree with Aaron on that one. I think that it does allow an opportunity for boaters that are new to the sport and haven't put in that much time and don't necessarily know what they're getting into to experience something awesome, but at the same time when things go wrong. Yeah, and I've put myself and others in that position and kind of learned from that experience. But I think that's like kind of, I mean, another conversation is like, how do you safely run the boats with people that you don't know that well? But yeah, I think it's I think it's definitely something that other creature crafters have kind of thought about and like, you know, come to the conclusion that like, yeah, like we can't just strap somebody in and expect them to be okay, because even if they are fine, but they're not having a great time, like there's no stopping. Like you can't just be like, okay, let's Eddie out. You know, if they're like, if they freak out and just let go of the oars, and you know, it's like they're in serious water that you can't necessarily rescue them from, and that could definitely be an issue, and has been to a certain extent.
Aaron, so, would you be willing to share like an example of being in a tough spot with creature crafters, like what that looked like, or some decision making example?
So okay. I mean, this is totally my example where I feel like I can explain it because it was just totally my decision. So this was like a few years ago when we ran the Illinois at 20 grand. I had run it before, about 3 months before, at 12, and it seemed pretty reasonable. I was in a boat by myself rowing. There was a few other boats, and we did pretty well. I did flip once, I think, well, maybe twice on that 30-mile run. Or maybe it was 35 we put in at McHale Ranch. But it was pretty awesome, and I had a great time. And I was like, wow, like this boat can like really do some amazing things. So a few months later, the Illinois came up. It actually came up above 20 grand. But by the time we put on it, it was about 20 grand. And I was like, you know, I talked to some people, and definitely there were some people that were there that probably shouldn't be. And we had some conversations on the beach, but I don't own all the creature crafts in the world. I only owned like two. And at that point, I think actually it was only one. And so, you know, I'm like, well, it's their boat. Like, okay. You know, and I actually took one of my friends, my best friend, down the river as a backseat passenger. And he actually wanted to take his, I think it was his girlfriend at the time. Now they're married. But and I was like, no, no, no. Like, you see it first and like you decide later if you want to do that. But I don't know about that, if that's a great idea. And we had a great time. Everybody was doing pretty well. The video was the bad boat that was on their side the whole time. They weren't having as much fun in an R3 setup, and that was like kind of a setup problem and also an experience problem. But I don't want to talk about that too much because that's not me. But for as far as I was concerned, like we were having a good time, and we got to the end of Clear Creek. And the Clear Creek Rapid there. And I was like, okay, everything's pretty calm, you know, like after this. I was like, okay, Kelsey, you want to like play around a little bit? Like we'll pull back on some waves and like do some tricks or whatever you want to call it. And we pulled back on this big lateral that was pretty much all the way across the river, probably like 100 yards, and surfed it over to the side. And then at the side, there was a wave that kind of came out of nowhere and just like hit the boat and slapped it over. And I was like, oh, okay. Like we hadn't actually practiced flipping, and they flip pretty easily if you know what to do, but we were not up to flipping it quickly. And it took us about 30 seconds or so to reflip the boat. And as soon as we reflipped the boat, there was this humongous hole right in front of us, and we ended up going into it. And I only was able to get like one oar stroke forward, and it didn't matter. And we sat in there for about 2 minutes, not just sitting like upright, but like literally upside down, like not really being able to breathe, going underwater for a long time, coming back up. And yeah, I mean, both Kelsey and I thought like near the end of that, like we're like, okay, this is it, you know, and we just held our breath, and somehow it sucked that whole boat. It was a big boat all the way underwater, below the hole, and popped us back out beyond it. And we came out upright, and survive somehow. And after that trip, I was like, and with all the other things that were going on with other folks that were, you know, a little bit over their heads for sure, I was like, I don't, you know, I was kind of like with Aaron, like maybe not about the skill set, but I was like, man, I'm way in over my head. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it definitely took, it set me back a bit. And I started thinking about it and I was like, you know, like this, it just needs to be more serious. Like, it's not a boat that you can just like strap yourself into and like expect that everything's fine. Like, there's still serious consequences. And I knew that I couldn't swim there, or that I shouldn't swim there. Like, the chances of survival then would have been pretty slim too. And so you're just kind of stuck in this boat. And so if you do like let your guard down and you do, or if you don't have the skills to move the boat where you want to, there are pretty serious consequences. You know, and we still had two thirds of the trip left. You know, we still had the green wall and all this other stuff coming up. And I mean, there was some serious thinking about hiking back out and stuff, but we continued. And I think everybody kind of got everything, like themselves together a little bit more. And, we followed close together and everything was fine after that, for the most part. But, definitely a boat that you can get in over your heads if you're thinking like Aaron is saying, that it's just a boat that you can just strap yourself in and you'll be fine, because it's not.
And so doesn't it seem like there's a lot of people out there that do creature crafting that kind of have the attitude that maybe aren't skilled and that they're fine just strapping themselves in and going? Doesn't it seem like, to me as a somewhat outsider, it feels like there's kind of a culture of that. Would you agree?
I think there is. I think that there's definitely some people that also have an ego, which I think is dangerous, but that's dangerous with any boat, where it's like they're trying to prove themselves, like, oh, like I can do this class 6 plus rapid and be fine, you know, and then when, you know, then people get in arguments and it's the ego talking more than their skill. And there's definitely people that do just think like, okay, I'm safe in this boat. And you are safer in that boat in a similar circumstance. If you take a person that's skilled and run them, like, I mean, especially on big water, like you're going to be safer in that boat than you are in a raft. But if you don't have skill, like, it doesn't mean that you can, you know, that you're still going to be safe. Like, there's still things that can happen. And, yeah. That's my perspective.
Hey, Aaron, when you say flip, what do you mean? Are you saying, like, on the side? Is that what you mean when you flip?
Yeah, if
you,
I...
You mean you're literally
upside
down. My goal
is usually on... You know, I think everybody does boating for different reasons. I mean, I got into it because I just love the people and the community in it, and boating and the diverse, you know, ideas, and just lawyers and doctors and like poor, like river rats and everything. And everybody was just like coming together and having fun. And, as far as flipping, I got into creature crafting because it allowed me to do something different. And it's, to me, like, if I don't make it down the run without flipping, then, or if I make it down the run without flipping, then I'm kind of like, okay, sweet, I actually did it, you know. And flipping to me is like just on my side, whether that means it's for a second or like 2 seconds. Like, if the T-tops touch the water and I'm like, have to like right the boat back up, like that's considered a flip. And I think with a raft it'd be the same thing. Like, I've gone up on my side, like up on a corner or something where I'm like not quite all the way over, but that's kind of like with a raft high siding, you know, like the raft starts coming up and you high side and get it to sit back down. So yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought it meant. I was just curious. Yeah. Well, I mean, they sound cool. You know, like, it sounds like a cool way to see some really high vault rumors. It also sounds to me pretty frightening, like, to take it down and thinking about, like, if you fuck up or whatever. Like, I mean, do you know of anyone in their future craft who's just gotten stuck in a hole and couldn't get out? Have you heard any stories of that? Or
the only person I know that there has been one fatality in a creature craft, and that was from falling out of the boat. That's all I know of. There's definitely been some hole rides. They call them rides. You know, the longest I've been stuck in a hole is like 2 or 3 minutes, and it's not fun. I know Darren has been stuck in a hole for a long time, but he kind of is experimenting, trying to figure out how the boats work, and takes a little bit different risks than others. Yeah, I mean, there's been different times where people have been in there for, I don't think anybody's been in over an hour. I don't know.
Over an hour?
No, I don't think anybody's been over an hour. But after like about a, like, some people think it's fun. Like, you see these videos and you're like, oh, those guys are having a great time tumbling around in the hole. After like a few seconds to like 30 seconds, like, you're not really having fun anymore unless you've done it a lot and you know how to hold your body well. But for most people, I think, at least, that's not the point. The point isn't to like sit in a hole forever, but it's definitely something that can happen.
When I went with Aaron on the North Fork of the Smith, I was in a hole for maybe like 10 seconds. I don't remember, 15 seconds. I started getting nervous. I'm like, I don't like this. Like, get me away from this hole. It was, for me, it was kind of terrifying because you don't really have any control. Like in a kayak, you can usually like put your nose in the end or out. In a raft, you swim. You just swim, whatever, you come out. But in a creature craft at high water, I definitely wasn't going to swim. And I didn't know how I was going to, I didn't know what I was going to do to get the boat out. I was basically at the mercy of the hole and did not like that feeling. It was definitely interesting.
So on that point there, Zach, Aaron, I'm curious, how often do you feel like you're just at the mercy of the river?
I feel like I'm in control to a certain extent, and when I'm not, I don't like it very much. So I feel like I mean. Obviously, like, you're going through something big. Once you commit to a rapid, you know, you're committed to the rapid. You're going to have to go through it. But I feel like I can still move around quite a bit to get to where I want, as long as I haven't entered in the wrong side. But I mean, that's just like the Grand Canyon, you know, you like enter on the wrong side of a rapid. You're like, well, guess I'm going down this side, you know.
Do you ever just enter rapids like and be like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but the creature craft will get me through, and just like row into it and just be like, yeehaw, here we go. We'll see what happens.
I never really enter the rapids with that perspective.
Okay.
I don't think that.
Aaron, that's kind of how I felt when we did Oregon Hall Gorge. So we did North Fork of the Smith through Oregon Hall Gorge the day Aaron took me out. And going into Oregon Hall Gorge, I'm like, I know this flushes, but I know it's big and I'm in this contraption. So like, I felt pretty confident going in. I didn't think I was going to want to run it. And then I felt pretty solid and like, let's just do it. But I entered thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do to get through the canyon. And I flipped at the top and flipped it back over. But it was, I had no idea. I felt very comfortable in the boat at that point.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, you entered it and you just went into the hole and flipped around and came out. And I mean, we entered it a little bit different and actually surfed the hole in a controlled fashion and moved over into the current and then continued on down, and we were fine. So I think it was like, you were like, oh, holy shit, like, here we go. Kind of like, okay, well, whatever happens. And I'm sure you were trying to control it to a certain extent, but if you would have done that run like probably two or three more times at that same level, you would have been like, oh no, I'm not going to do that. Like, that didn't work out. Let's try something different.
Oh, if I went back, I would go where you went for sure. Like, absolutely. Yeah, and so I think it would have been more successful. But my point is, I entered the rapid. It's a little gorge. It's like I don't know, half a mile. I entered it, just feeling confident in the boat. Like, I entered the run not knowing where I was really going to go exactly, and I was going to figure it out. And if I flipped, I'd be fine.
Yeah, and you would have been fine, and I wouldn't have asked you to go in there. And you knew that. I mean, you knew that gorge. I mean, it wasn't like it was like something new for you, and you're a skilled boater and a good boater.
I knew it at 2,000, not whatever it was, like 30,000. So
you knew that it was like there's no like wood that's going to be in the way, or there's no like rap rock or like something, and you were probably just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to explore here.
Rap?
Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
Sorry, Zach. Do you mind if I have one more question?
Yeah.
Can you wrap? Can you wrap a creature craft?
Sure.
Is it possible to wrap it? I mean, it doesn't even have a floor on it, really, does it? I thought it was just two.
It has a floor. It's just a single layer piece of fabric. It's not inflated, but they're definitely not as easy to wrap as a raft, because it has that top, so it's like this triangle shape, and it kind of like the top will grab the water, you know, if it's all on the side. But definitely you can wrap it. That's one of the things that makes me more nervous about some of the rivers, like the Middle Feather, you know, at high water, is that like there's still a lot of maneuvering you've got to do. Like, you can't just like hang on and go down. It's like, and if you mess up and you flip over and you're on your side, you are at the mercy of the river until you get it back up and you get your oars back in place.
How high will you run? Would you run the Middle Feather?
Well, we tried, or I've attempted it at 4,000, but that was unsuccessful on my part. I didn't feel like I was making the moves like I should. And I felt like I'd run it a couple times in a raft at like 12 and like 15 or 1400. And at 4,000, I was like, it was like the warm up the first like 10 miles or so. And we weren't, well, I wasn't, we were making the moves. I just felt like it was over my head. And, that was, I called the trip on my end. And then the other two that were with me could have continued if they wanted to, but they were, you know, team players and hiked out with me. And, so hopefully. I'll get back in there at some point, but,
what do you mean? Like you felt like you weren't making the moves. Like what does that entail in the creature craft? You're just bouncing off rocks, or you're like,
I was making the moves, you were going, but I knew that this was like the easier section. I don't know if you've run the Middle Feather. I would assume. Yeah. And that's that like first part was kind of manky. Usually it's kind of like, oh, like this sucks, but it was big then. And I knew that, like, you know, normally it's like day two and day three, like it keeps increasing every day as far as like the bigness of the water. And I was just like, you know, you get to the PCT bridge and I was like, okay, this is like the moment where I'm like, okay, either I like continue on and I'm like super, super committed, or I hike out. And, we made the moves. There was no, like, nobody flipped, nobody wrapped, nobody had any bad, like, broken oars or anything. I think it was more me and my mindset was just like, no, this is like too fast and too big for me right now. Like, I just wasn't into it mentally. I didn't want to get in over my head down lower. So,
and what would that, what were you worried about? I guess, like, getting stuck in holes, or like, I'm just trying to understand.
I'm not so worried about getting stuck in holes. I mean, obviously we were going to have to run the portage rapid. We weren't planning on portaging it. That one doesn't get run very often, and there's a huge feature at the bottom that I was a little worried about. There was less less scouting than we would normally do, you know, like even in a raft, like when I run in rafts, like things that we would normally scout, like we just run because it's like, what, you're going to scout like every class four? No, because it's like consistent class four all the time. And then occasionally some fives. And you scout the ones that you know you need to scout. And then the other ones, you're just like, okay, I think we go over here, you know, and go down. Yeah. And with a creature at 4,000, or a raft or any other boat, like a kayak could probably catch little micro eddies and maybe get out and scout, but what, you're going to walk like a mile of like rapid and then try to remember everything. So you kind of have to run it, like just read and run. And if you're not feeling in, like your mindset isn't into it, then you're like, no, never mind. Like that was a bad choice. Now we're hiking out. So
yeah, okay,
it's
yeah, thanks for explaining that.
I don't know, I feel like it's like any other boat. I mean, I, you know, if you're trying to like explore your limits and maybe the limits of certain types of boating, then you have times where you just, you got in over your head and you have to be able to call that for yourself. So that's what happened with me. I think it's happened to a lot of other people too. I mean, I know plenty of people that have hiked their kayaks out of places and rafts too, although it's less common because it sucks.
Is there ideal flow to run a creature craft down the middle feather?
I don't know. I haven't done it that much.
So here's what I'm asking. This is why I think the creature craft is a tough boat, because I think it's limited to certain rivers and certain flows. And I think the middle feather, to get a creature craft down, you need a certain minimum amount of water. So water's going over a lot of the features, a lot of the rocks that might be problematic in a creature. But if it's too high, I think the issue is what you mentioned earlier. You just can't catch eddies. And you just have to bomb down the whole thing. And I think a big weakness of creature crafts is that you can't eddy out as a team. So when you're running a river like the Illinois at 20 grand and there's four creature crafts, there's not a lot of places the four of you can just eddy out and regroup and then leave the eddy and fix your boat spacing. And so I think the boats get too spread out and then you're not looking out for each other.
I think, again, it depends on your skill on how well you can catch eddies, because the people that I've boated with and creatures that actually know how to boat really well, you know, some guide people that are guiding Cherry Creek and like, you know, people that have done like round boats and know how to move the round boats, they can catch eddies just fine. I think it's more of a,
if they exist, but I don't, so like on the Illinois, they probably exist at high water.
Yeah. At the Illinois, they exist.
But on Cherry Creek,
the middle
they probably
feather,
don't. Or like Cherry Creek in the middle feather, if you do those at 4,000, there aren't eddies on either one of those where three or four creature crafts can regroup.
No, you'd have to like eddy. You'd be like, okay, let's eddy out and then catch eddies along the way and then tie up your boat. And I mean, it would be kind of a, you know, it would be a deal.
So my point is as you're certain rivers like the North Smith, the Illinois, things like that at high water, there's proper eddies at high water. But when you start looking at other runs, like especially the California Sierra runs, about doing those at high water, where there's enough water for a creature craft, there isn't going to be eddy space. You know, so one creature craft could get down the Cherry Creek at 4,000 or whatever without stopping. But as soon as you think about like proper, like setting safety for each other and editing out as a group and regrouping, that becomes impossible at the higher levels.
I think at the higher levels, you just know there's not a whole lot of safety. And I think that I would assume that expert kayakers, they're running really high volume rivers, kind of know the same thing. I mean, like that video of the wind where the kayaker swam at super high water. I mean,
if you had a creature craft at that level on the wind, you can't eddy out, but the kayaks could.
I think the kayaks were able to like chase the person down eventually and tow him over to shore, but it wasn't like they all eddied out in an eddy and regrouped. I mean, there's probably some eddies like that, but that would
but be they could have kayakers. Like, kayakers can eddy out.
Kayakers, you know, definitely can eddy out easier than probably any other boat, for sure. I'm not saying that. I'm not comparing the two. What I'm saying is that there's, if you're running something super high volume, like, the eddies are going to start to disappear, and you're not going to have as many of them to catch. So, I mean, that's just kind of like a risk you take when you run a river that's super high.
So, but my guess my point is, if I'm going to look at doing the middle feather of 4,000, I'm going to choose the kayak over the creature craft, because the creature craft can't stop where the kayak can.
It can't.
Well, you're
stop.
A badass kayaker too, Zach. You're also a badass kayaker.
Well, not anymore.
Unlike
so,
myself,
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but I would wonder if Zach's going to go down the middle feather at 4,000.
Yeah,
there's not too many people that would want to do that.
I'll probably never paddle the middle feather again.
It wasn't really easy to find any beta on that. Nobody seems to know. So,
Aaron, I'm curious, like, at what point on, like, let's say, I love the millfeathers. This is just a great example, River. At what point would you switch from wanting to, at what flow would you switch from wanting to take a raft to wanting to take a creature craft?
I would say around, like, 2,000 mm-hmm. or so. I think.
You think above 2,000?
Rafting it above that, like, definitely. Like, I know people, friends of mine that have done it above 2,000. They said it was pretty scary and big. But I don't know really, because I haven't done the whole thing with a creature craft in some of the, you know, like the Portage Rapid. I've never run the Portage Rapid on anything. So, you know, I've definitely looked at it in the perspective as it was when it was lower, like, oh, where would I go? And I feel like there's some lines in there, but, you know, I don't know. I'm not an expert middle feather runner.
Totally. Yeah. No, yeah. That's helpful. So from what you're saying there too, it sounds like it was kind of my feeling is like when you get to a certain flow as it drops, you're way better off in a raft than in the creature craft. Like there's a point where you're just like,
for me personally. Yeah. I feel like I can, I think so. I think that the, I guess R2-ing it is fun, but that's also scary if you mess up because somebody's on the bottom and you're strapped in. I think the rafts, like, you can kind of slide over things. It's kind of like, I feel like it's running a creature craft is kind of like running a cat boat where it catches mm-hmm. a lot on the sides versus mm-hmm. a raft that you can kind of like slide over things. Squish around things. I learned to boat on a raft and so I'm a little bit more preferential to that, but with smaller water for sure, like I'm gonna take a raft. Sometimes it's kind of fun if I know the run, I'll be like, oh, I bet I can fit a creature craft down there and I'll do it. But that's more for just like to see if I can do it, and it's not for a safety thing. It's actually probably
so
more dangerous in some ways.
Okay. So what would be like your top five rivers for creature crafting? Do you think like the creature craft makes it just like a really fun river to run where you feel like you're in control and it's just really cool?
Top five rivers. I mean, I don't,
creature crafting,
I'm not gonna say that I'm like the best river runner, and I don't know, there's a lot of rivers I haven't ever run before, so that's a hard
of the ones you enjoyed, like just like the ones you said, yeah, this that was a really fun one on a creature craft of your experience.
I mean, the Smith, Middle Fork Gorge on the Smith, like Zach was saying, is a pretty inconsequential fun one that you could just tech as long as that's at a reasonable level, go in and just go down, and it's pretty fun. It's steep, big waves, nothing super retentive. The Illinois is obviously a good one, but it's also one that would be more consequential and you're in the middle of the wilderness. There's no road there. You know, I took one down the middle salmon once. That was pretty fun, but I would want it to be super way higher. I think it was like 5.5 or 6 feet when I went down, and there wasn't really anything that big. It was like, I would have rather just been in a raft. Cal salmon is cool. Definitely.
Really?
Cal salmon at like, if it's above like 6 feet, I think the cal salmon is sweet and a creature craft. My buddy Quinn and I R2'd it for the first time around 10,000, which I think is like 8-ish feet, somewhere around there. For the first time, that one was really fun. That was probably one of my favorite trips, just because we were super together. And, you know, R2ing, you get a good partner and you like work together, and we made all the moves, and we didn't have one flip. Cause you can like hang your body out the side of those boats and really just like brace and throw your weight around to keep it level. That was a fun one. I don't know. I mean, Burnt Ranch, that one still scares me. Even in a creature craft, I've had some interesting trips down Burnt Ranch, both in rafts and creature crafts. That one's just a mean section. Mm-hmm. So, but it's like top five. Like, I don't know. Like, who am I recommending this to? You know, like, I'm not going to recommend any of that stuff to somebody that doesn't know how to boat. So North Fork Smith is fun. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like,
I think that's helpful. I'm just trying to get an idea of like what type of rivers it's fun to take a creature craft on, just to get it like
bigger,
for me, more of a visual.
Bigger volume. I mean, go down to Chile and run the Foodalafoo. I mean, you just giggle the whole time. It's super easy in a creature craft. I mean, you might get beat up if you go into Terminator Hole or something like that, but I mean, that's...
Did you just go down did you just run down the middle at Terminator?
I had a buddy that did on accident because he didn't know where he was going, but I didn't. He didn't really want to go that way, I don't think. definitely picked up my fair share of rafters out of there with a creature craft, so that was fun too. I was surprised at how many like swims they have on that with like commercial rafting companies. I mean, maybe if I was going with like Zach or somebody that I knew, I'd be like, okay, yeah, just don't flip us, please. But I was like going through Inferno Canyon and then Terminator. And I was like, Jesus, you guys are I don't know. The customers are happy, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's different from I mean, I work down there and like, we actually got bonuses if we didn't have if we went so many trips without having more than half of our boat fall out at any one time. So like, you never had more than, like we got bonuses for that. So on our trips, like we didn't put people in the water because like, yeah, we wanted that.
Well, I don't
bonus.
Know if they were doing it on it was significant. Purpose, but I was just like, yeah, like, because I don't know, as a customer, I'd sign up and be like, oh yeah, this is going to be great. And maybe if you flip or you fall out, then they're like, oh, it's fine, whatever. Like, that's what boating's about. Like, that's what I thought when I first started boating. Like, I was like, oh yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, swim. But now that I know like what it's like to swim, I'd hesitate going on a commercial boating trip on the Foodalafoo, because I'd be like, yeah, might be swimming today. So yeah,
well, we're approaching an hour, and I want to go over one more thing and then maybe close it up, unless you guys have anything to add. And that one thing is, Aaron, you mentioned earlier that like sometimes it doesn't like quite count as running a river. So, you know, like if you flip a lot or aren't being successful, like what doesn't constitute running a river in a creature craft, right? So if somebody goes down the North Fork of the Payette and they like have no experience, what's the delineation between successfully running a river?
I think that's a hard one because that's just my own goal. Like, if I flip on a creature, I feel like that's a mistake. You know, like, I'm like, okay, if I was in a raft, like, I think about it as like in a raft. Like, I'm like, well, I flipped the raft, like, that sucks. But at the same time, if I'm running 30 miles and I flip once in a raft, like, does that mean I didn't run it? Like, no, not necessarily. Now, if I flipped at the very top and I basically swam the whole thing, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, no, that doesn't count because anybody can do that. For me, it's just been my own personal goal. Like when I run something, like if I can keep from flipping at all, then I feel like that was like a super awesome run. And I'm like, yeah, like I feel like I got that one kind of dialed or at least started to get dialed. So I don't want to say that for anybody else. I mean, but I do see like if you're on a creature craft and you flip in every big rapid on your side, like I don't, I mean, you ran it, but you know, it's like, you probably want to improve. So, you know, it's like one of those things, I don't know, just kind of gotta to each their own, I guess, you know? But I'm not going to say that, like, I'm not going to say it, discourage people because they had the balls to run this one rapid and flipped on their side and like ended up, you know, messing up to be like, oh yeah, you guys suck. Like, cause maybe they want to get back in and do it again.
Yeah. I mean, I flipped twice when I went with you and I feel like I ran the river.
Yeah.
And when I hard shell, I flip and I still count that as running the river. I'm just wondering if there's some delineation, you know, when people go, I see the videos of people running Tumwater and it's just like an epic shit show. And maybe that's just the videos I saw, but is that technically running the river when they're just getting surfed the whole time and running into each other?
I mean, I think if they're attempting to make moves, you know, maybe they mess up on that and they don't make the right moves, but it's all a learning process. I still have yet to run Tumwater. I don't know if I ever will. It looks like you get beat up a lot. I definitely have talked to enough people that are like, yeah, like this is what you do. This is where you want to be. This is where you want to be that, you know, the next spot, and they move around. And so I feel like that's running the river, even if they do get beat up, because kayakers, you know, they do the same thing. Like they'll get flipped over and get stuck in a hole, but they come out and like, it's not like they swam every rapid and just survived, you know? And I think some people run rivers better than others. And for me, running a river is also, you know, mainly just about the experience. But if I want to like improve my abilities, like I'm going to try not to flip. Like that's my goal, is like to not flip. And so the last time we ran the Illinois at 25 grand, I didn't flip the whole time. And I was like super stoked about it. And I do feel like if I would have just strapped myself in and I didn't row, like, of course I'm going to flip over. Like then you're at the mercy of the river. So,
yeah,
you know, to each their own.
Well, if you guys have nothing else, I say we close this down with Gear of the Week. Do you guys have anything else to add?
No, it's great talking to you, Aaron, and learning more about Creature Crafts. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, anytime you want to get in one.
Yeah, Aaron. Well, no,
I mean, having said that, I've never even been in one. I mean, I just saw one like half deflated on the side of the Illinois River last spring that looked pathetic, actually. But like that's as close as I've been to a creature craft. Is this half deflated one sitting on the halfway down the Illinois River? So I don't know. Maybe that was yours. I'm not
sure.
That
was probably mine. Did you write my name in the beach?
No, we didn't. I didn't stop. No, we were a little worried about you though when we saw that there. We were like, yeah, what's going on?
I was supplying a crew, so I was actually working. Solo boating the Illinois, I was like, I'm going to take a creature craft. So
there you go. Yeah.
Aaron, I have to say about creature crafts, I was pretty hesitant before I did it, and it was a lot of fun. And if I lived in Southern Oregon, I would get one. There's just, like, it would be fun to go do all those, like, Southern Oregon rivers when they get high. But, you know, for you living in California or Hawaii now,
or me living in Hood River, I don't think they make a ton. They're not maybe worth $7,000 or whatever. But I would, man, if I lived somewhere where there were high water rivers like that, I would definitely get one. So,
yeah, sounds fun.
Anyway, I want to finish up with gear of the week. Do you guys have any? We always end with like some sort of gear recommendation or some sort of gear we like, just to kind of close things down. Do you guys have anything?
Totally.
I can probably come up with something.
Let's hear it, Aaron.
Which Aaron? All right.
I'll go since I have one too. I'm going to go with the Stolquist Infant PFD. I just got one in the mail, and I'm going to say, like, as an expecting father, I'm really psyched on this. I'm so psyched that Stolquist makes something like this, so I can pretty much put a newborn in this thing and take them rafting. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if that's a good idea, but it seems pretty cool, and all the reviews are really good on it. It looks well made. I'm excited to check it out.
Cool.
Sweet.
I'll go next so you have more time to think, Aaron. Other Aaron. Mine is the Grail water filter. It's G-R-A-Y-L. And I got one just to try it out for travel, international travel. And you put water in a water bottle and push the filter through the water. It's pretty slick. And it's not just a filter, it's a purifier. So usually when you filter water, it doesn't purify, it doesn't get everything out, but this one supposedly does. So it's for, like, if you're a river guide or do a lot of overnight trips, it's a really easy way to filter water out of the river.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's great.
I guess to stay in the creature craft thing, I'm gonna say the Sea Anchor. So if you wanna get a creature craft and start running some big shit, talk to Darren and get him to make you a Sea Anchor. You basically, like, they're like, you know what a Sea Anchor is? It's like just basically like a tube that has a small side and a big side, rope attached to it, and you get it stuck in a hole. Well, as long as you're not getting flipped around, you can throw it out into the current, and the current will take it and pull you back out. So in case Aaron wants to run a creature craft, grab one of those Sea Anchors, and you don't have to bring the oars. There you go.
Maybe bring a couple.
Yeah, packed down easier. Yeah. Have you used it?
I don't have one. But I have thought that that would be possibly a good asset to the boat, just in case. Because it's one of those things, it's like a throw bag, you never need it till you do. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks for joining, and talking to you guys again.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. It was fun.